Rebecca Lee returning after she has been teaching here for 4 years, coming up from New Jersey once or twice a semester, and actually preceded me and was very helpful to keeping the Yale Buddhist Sangha going and thriving during a time when it didn't have a Buddhist chaplain on campus. My name is Sumi and I'm that person now. So Dr. Lee is the founder and guiding teacher for the Chan Dharma community. She trained under the late Master Sheng Yen and also Simon Childs. She teaches retreats and gives talks very widely around the country and in other countries, and also sits on panels and writes articles. And her day job is as a professor of sociology at the College of New Jersey. Oh, and she's also the faculty director of the Center for the Study of Social Justice. Tonight's talk is on working with perfectionism in relationship and social engagement. And by the end of the hour, by 8 o'clock, you will be completely liberated from your perfectionist tendency. So we have full confidence in you, Rebecca. Thank you. We'll see if we can make a little headway on this topic. And judging by the attendance, I assume then that this is a topic of relevance for at least a few here at Yale. Announcements for the community, feel free to join us on Thursday. We'll do a meditation workshop, and then afterward we have tea and mochi together, very relaxed. And then next Tuesday we're hosting Reverend Kanji for a talk on green Buddhism. These are really open to any and all, so if you know someone who is interested in climate change and environmentalism, and this thing about how to work with that spiritually, then just bring them along and they can listen to that talk. I think that's it for announcements on my end. And Kazimi, do you want to say that sutra studies are starting?
Yeah, sutra studies will start next Wednesday at, I think, 8 p.m. I'll send out an email confirmation over the weekend with more and the specific text that we will be reading. It's kind of TBA for now. Yeah.
And so if you're not on the mailing list, there's a mailing list sign-up sheet right outside this door where you can get all our fabulous announcements. Okay, enough from us, and we'll turn the floor over to Rebecca. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Sumi. So perhaps maybe we can spend a few minutes to practice together, to do a short meditation first, to you've been running around classes and busy mind. Give ourselves some space and sit comfortably. And allow our whole body to relax into this space, starting from the top of the head. And feel the relaxation spread to the forehead, and feel the relaxation spread to the eyeballs and eye muscles. Directly experience the subtle sensations of these muscles relaxing, and feel the relaxation spread to the facial muscles. Check to see if we hold tension in any part of our face by habit. Maybe from holding the facial expression for the world to see. And right here, right now, it's not necessary to do that. Yeah, allow. Allow the tension to melt away. And feel the relaxation spread to the entire head. And allow this relaxation to spread to the neck muscles. Feel the relaxation spread to the shoulder muscles, allowing the tension in these muscles to melt away like melting butter, softening. And feel the relaxation spread down the arms, all the way down to the fingertips. And feel the relaxation spread to the chest area. Check to see we hold tension in this area by habit, maybe from anxiety, fear, worries. And right here, right now, we can give them a rest and allow the tension to melt away. And feel the relaxation spread down the torso to the lower abdomen, trusting the skeletal structure to hold up the body. And we can give these muscles a vacation, allowing the tension to melt away. And feel the relaxation spread to the upper back, the muscles between the shoulder blades, allowing the tension we hold there by habit to melt away. And feel the relaxation spread down the back and all the way down to the lower back. Down to the buttocks, where we feel the sensations of the body sitting on the cushion or the chair. And feel the relaxation spread down the thighs. All the way down to the toes. And feel the relaxation of the entire body sitting right here, right now. Relax into this emerging present moment. Just sitting. Clear. clearly aware of the subtle changing sensations as the body breathes while sitting right here, right now. Clearly aware of being in this space with this body, with this changing sensations, the mind, as thoughts and feelings comes through moment after moment. Allow these thoughts to come through. Allow ourselves to be clearly aware of it. And allow these thoughts to go on its own. All we need to do is to be fully here, with this clear awareness. There's no need to try to control anything. Allowing this body-mind to relax to this present moment. Maintain this clear awareness as we transition from stillness to motion, do this by moving our fingers one at a time and staying with the changing sensations. We can do this by rotating the body from small circle into bigger and bigger circles and maintaining this clear awareness of the changing sensations as the body moves. And noticing this very strong habit of allowing the mind to scatter as soon as the body begins to move, as soon as we hear the bell, as we associate that with, now I can stop practicing. When the practice continues in our life, left in motion, we can continue to cultivate this clarity of our body, our mind, and what's around us. Thank you so much for being here. What I would absolutely love to do is to hear from every one of you how you are doing, but I don't think Sumi will allow me because I have to give this talk. But do feel free to chime in if you don't quite follow or you have questions as I move along. For those of you who came in late, a little bit late, actually on time, Sumi was asking me why I chose this topic. It literally is because it was on her list. She had perfectionism, relationship, and social engagement on her list. And these are the ones that were not chosen by other speakers. So that's the reason why I thought maybe it would be helpful to talk a little bit about this, the topic itself being perfectionism. How many of you had no idea what perfectionism is? Don't know how it's like to be a perfectionist? No one? Okay. Thank you for being so honest. I would imagine being a student at this school, you have to be someone who strives to be the best, right? To strive to be very good at what you do. That is a great quality that helps us, that motivates us to work hard, to keep learning, to keep improving ourselves. Now, along the way, when we are striving to be best, to do our best, to excel, it's very common for us to also develop this habit we know as perfectionism, being perfectionist. Perfectionism, when we sort of unpack it a little bit, it's a habit of the mind, which thank goodness it is, because that means we can unlearn it through practice. So it's not genetically coded in our brain. So what's this habit like? It's helpful to understand a little bit what this habit is. This habit involves forming an idea of what it means to be perfect. You can think along, follow along, like whatever it is that you have this perfectionism. You have this idea of what is it to be perfect. And we're very attached to it, meaning that like it has to be like this. If it's not like this, then it's no good. Nothing is worth anything anymore. It's an all or nothing mindset, right? So this attachment to this idea of what is perfect, and we apply it to all kinds of things, right? Maybe in academics. I like to mention this very often. Maybe you have grown up with parents like this, or you don't need your parents to do this to your to you. You do it to yourself. You got the exam back or a test or things like 99 out of 100. And you go to the professor, like, where's the 1 point? I want to get that 1 point back. Or you might have parents like, where's that 1 point? Why did you miss that point? And we might all be able to relate to that. And this is the other part of the habit of nitpicking ourselves, to focus exclusively on what is not here, that 1 point. But forgetting that you got 99 points. You have worked hard. You've done really well. That's how you got 99 points. But none of that matters. You only focus on that 1 point that's not here. So this habit is this exclusive focus on what is here and the habit of completely taking for granted everything that is here, the 99 points you have earned from your hard work. So it is this habit together of focusing exclusively on what's not here and completely ignoring, taking for granted what is here, together create this completely distorted view. Completely distorted view of reality, because we only focus on what's not here. And it's so horrible. The imperfection, the little flaw becomes our entire reality, when our reality includes all the other things that are working, all the other things that are good, but none of that. We don't care. And so this habit, a big part of it involves this, I like to call it a very toxic habit of taking what's here for granted. And the Buddha talked about it as this habit of discontent, of taking for granted of all the things you're here that we have, and forgetting all about it. And that's a great source of our suffering, our sorrow. And so you can see that this is a habit of the mind that is involves a very strong attachment to our idea of how things are supposed to be. Perfect. Whatever perfect is in the mind, how things are supposed to be. Forgetting, or actually unwilling or unable to see the true nature of things, is that things happen by the coming together of many causes and conditions. What we do, how our health is like when we are doing it, which we have no total control over. Also how other people who are involved in the situation, we completely ignore all that. And so this habit also involves this idea that, like, I alone make everything happen, which is, of course, an erroneous view. Completely forgetting the true nature of reality is the coming together of many causes and conditions. So it's like it's a habit of a very strong self-centered attachment of what I think, how things are supposed to be like. So if you remember some of the Dhamma that you've been learning, you will see that these are all perfect ingredients for suffering, right? Willful ignorance of the true nature of reality, right? Being willfully distorting the reality that we're in, instead of seeing it's true nature. And so probably many of you have experienced that the we believe being perfectionist is what is going to get us to become very good at what we want to be able to excel at. But somehow along the way, it's suffering. It's very, very painful. And very often, not only do we suffer, we cause other people suffering. And I want to talk about, just so you know how it's like in your academic, being perfectionist. Like, so I get very upset about the, I think maybe A is not good enough, you need your A plus. I don't know if you do A plus here, or whatever the points that you're not getting. In relationship, in our relationship with other people, for example, I like to focus on specifically intimate relationship with people we profess to love. Maybe a romantic relationship, maybe a relationship with a family member. For example, in romantic relationship, someone we love, we're supposed to love this person. When we are being a perfectionist with a relationship, a telltale sign is that we have an idea of how the relationship is supposed to be like. Does it sound familiar? Mm-hmm. It's like, ooh, like, cause, wow, this is like big thing, you know, like I'm putting myself out there, and it's like, I'm like in this relationship with this person, it better work out, and it better be perfect, right? And we don't even know we're doing this. We don't even know. We're just being pushed along with this idea that we have created in our head. And so we act it all out. So this is why it's so important to cultivate in the practice of cultivating this clear awareness of what's going on in our mind that we just did a little bit of in this meditation. So it's not just about relaxing, but it's in this relaxation we're able to allow the mind to settle down enough for us to cultivate clarity, to see that, oh wow, I have this idea. Most of the time, we have all kinds of ideas. Some of them very strange, some of them unhelpful, sometimes very destructive ideas. We don't know that we have them. We don't know we believe in them. When we do, believe in them and we act them out. So the first step in working with perfectionism, if we know that we have that tendency, is to really ask ourselves to look into our mind. We can make use of a meditative practice with the clear awareness we cultivate from it to see, huh, ask ourselves, check is it, what kind of idea do we have? When we say perfect, this better be perfect, what do we mean? What do we mean? What's the idea? What's the image we have? So maybe in a relationship that we think is supposed to be perfect, because we love each other, right? So like, well, maybe that means, I'm just throwing out something, maybe that means we want to spend all the time together. Mm-hmm. Notice the all the time. Perfect, because we love each other so much, we should always want to spend time together, all the time together. Right? Or we should always get along. We should always get along, right? That means we should never fight. We should never have any disagreement. Or we should never get annoyed with each other. Because we love each other, right? I should always only have love, love, love. Like never kind of feel any negative, like annoyed or upset or mad. That's no, not good. All those are defilements of this perfect, pure relationship that I'm supposed to have here. So just a few examples. I let you ask yourself, what do you mean by this perfect relationship is supposed to be like? I hope you can pick up some of the key words that is associated with perfectionism. always, I should always get along. I should never get annoyed with my partner. I should always want to spend all the time together with my partner. And that's the idea we hold in our mind about a perfect relationship. And what we do is that we carry this idea to judge the reality of our relationship. So if you've been in a relationship, you will know. It's like, well, you find that your partner like told you, hey, you know, my best friend's visiting, like, you know, so see you later, I'm not going to see you this weekend. And it's like, what? Like, you're not going to want to spend all your free time with me? No longer perfect, this relationship. Or you find a time when there was disagreement, maybe. You were talking about politics, huh? Or talk about maybe you went to see a movie. There's like some very like deep movie, and then you talked about it, and it's like, oh my goodness, you like we have completely different feelings about it. You didn't see eye to eye about it. You're horrified about how you disagree. And the habit of perfectionism can cause a great deal of problem in this relationship, right? It's like, something's wrong with our relationship. It's like, we're not supposed to disagree ever. We should always agree. So this disagreement, which actually is very normal, because you're two different people, you have different thoughts in your mind, you respond to a movie or to an issue differently, perfectly normal, but you cannot see any of that. You just think it's a problem. Now the relationship is not perfect because it has been defiled by this disagreement. Never mind that most of the time that you enjoy the same music, you like spending time together a lot, and you enjoy each other's company a great deal. You enjoy a lot of lovely meals together. None of that matters. Remember the taking for granted of everything that's here in your relationship. None of that matters. It is this thing that we are disagreeing. No good now. I need to dump my partner. Or at least we think there's like a serious issue in this relationship. Being perfectionist. So, generating a great deal of discontent in a relationship when actually most of the time you're getting along, you're enjoying each other's company, but all you can think of is this one thing that you disagree, or this one thing that your partner does that annoys you. Sound familiar? Maybe you know people around you that that's all they complain about. It's just one thing. Perfectionism. So this is a habit that generates a lot of suffering for ourselves. Not only that, it is not compassionate. When we are being a perfectionist in a relationship, it actually creates a lot of pressure on our partner. Because we work very hard to make this relationship perfect. If perfect means we never fight, we're not supposed to fight. We're not supposed to ever disagree. We should spend all the time together. Try that. It creates a lot of pressure on our partner to be a certain way. They cannot really be themselves. It's a very oppressive relationship. What we are doing is we are forcing our partner to block their feelings or their thoughts out of their mind to fit into our idea of what a perfect relationship is supposed to be, or at least hide it from you. They're not going to tell you that, oh, I'm spending time with my best friend, so it's like, I'm busy, I have to work an extra shift. And you're forcing your partner to lie to you, to create this facade of a perfect relationship. Is that love? Is that love? We work so hard to make this relationship perfect. But is it love when we insist? This is the habit of insisting that the relationship be perfect, perfect in this particular shape and form, rather than allowing the two of us to be together naturally as we are. And it's not going to be perfect because our idea of things tend to be neat and tidy. Reality's messy. So think about it. You are a human being, your partner is a human being. Sometimes you get grumpy because you're tired. Sometimes you are not so considerate because you're stressed out. You get into fights. Perfectly normal. But if we hold on, we are strongly attached to this idea of how a perfect relationship is supposed to be like, we will not be able to see that this is all a natural part of being in a relationship. Now, some of you might be wondering, what should I do? Should I just like let things to be whatever it is? If I just, you know, kind of drop this habits of being a perfectionist, because you thought this is the way to strive for excellence, to work towards something. I think perhaps sometimes we confuse the two. It's perfectly okay to aspire to perfection, to aspire to do better. Perfection means like, hey, if we would like to have a harmonious relationship, so like we would like to have this relationship where that is loving and caring and based on mutual respect of each other, it's perfectly fine to aspire to have a relationship like this. It doesn't just happen though, you have to work on it. So relationship is work, but not by being perfectionist about it. So when you know clearly what you would like, what kind of relationship you would like, you can see this, the kind of good relationship you like to have, you like to cultivate, is a general direction. So you start here, two very different people, and then you would like to find ways to be together this way that is based on mutual respect and loving and caring, and both people have to sort of find a way through learning from mistakes to get there, which is a very different way than establishing an idea of what a perfect relationship is supposed to be like and constantly nitpicking. So it is very doable to engage in the practice to cultivate a good relationship. You have learned a lot of that, some of you, like cultivate the practice of appreciation, appreciating the strength of our partner and learn from their strength. Apparently family is not very common because people become competitive with their partner. It's like, oh, you thought you were so good at this, and now you try to like be better, or you become competitive with them, and more appreciate their strength and learn from them, and maybe you complement each other. Or, this is the hard one, when your partner doesn't want to spend time with you because they have something else they also would like to do, in some relationship that would be a mortal sin, but hey, you know, there's something that your partner does that make them very happy, that does not involve you. We can cultivate this appreciative joy, one of the four immeasurables, that being so happy for your partner that they are happy doing what they are doing. Being happy for them just because they're happy. Even though their happiness does not involve you. That is a different quality of love. It is not a possessive love. It's just love. And also, of course, cultivating loving kindness. So many of you have practiced that. Especially loving kindness to, as an antidote to resentment. Sometimes your partner does things that causes resentment. You're angry with them. And but still, being able to remember to wish upon this person that you're so angry with. Happiness and peace, just the way you experience it. All that is can be practiced to cultivate this truly loving and caring relationship. That will be, as we do it more and more, that will become a more and more perfect relationship, perfectly harmonious, truly loving, not by controlling someone, but like you actually truly love and respect each other and care about each other. And we learn from our mistakes, do something that kind of become a problem. So, oh, vow not to do it again. We're not stuck doing it forever. And then when we engage in the practice of appreciative joy, being able to be happy for your partner that they can do something that make them happy without you, and then make your partner happy and bring you closer together. Huh. That's wholesome. We do more. Remember to do it more often. So we can practice to aspire towards perfection, but that is different from the habit of perfectionism. And outside relationship, the reason why I want to talk about perfectionism in social engagement, over dinner before I came, someone just talked about it a little bit. That some of you might have that experience being committed to a cause, right? That may brought you to join some groups, some organization. I remember meeting a doctor who went to work with Médecins Sans Frontières, Doctors Without Borders, and got completely disillusioned, very disappointed, discouraged. And again, a perfectionism. The habits of perfectionism can bring us to that point. If you think about it, what usually brings us to a cause or to work with an organization? for a particular cause, maybe to help refugees or bring health care to the disadvantaged, whatever cause that you are into. That usually is because that we have this idea that this group is perfect. And the idea of it being perfect is again a distorted view. We sort of only allow ourselves to pay attention to the positive part about their work or the reality of this organization. That's what we're drawn to it. That's what we want to devote our life to it. And neglecting to notice that, you know what, in all organizations there will be issues, because organizations are filled with us imperfect humans. The ingredients are filled with vexations, and you'll be curious, you know, that the organization is a saintly place. But we have this idea going in, thinking, oh, you know, this is like, and then maybe in the beginning, we're like so excited, we're there, and we're doing the work, and we get very infatuated with it. And as we spend more time with it, we become more familiar with what happened day to day. Our idea, our bubble get popped. Maybe we hold the idea that everyone here is super dedicated all the time. See? Everyone, all the time. All the time. So what? Like, these people want to take time off, you know? They don't want to try to help the refugees all the time. Weekends. Work through the holidays. What kind of volunteers are these? What kind of humanitarian people are these? Or like, maybe we assume that everyone like gets along. Wow, like there are people who actually don't get along here in this humanitarian organization. And they have politics. My goodness, I can't believe it. They just have human beings there. So again, it's the same mechanism that we were just talking about, the habits of perfectionism, of being attached to our idea that we create for ourselves of how a perfect humanitarian organization or like a social justice organization, maybe that's your engagement, is supposed to be like. I recently had a student now in my Dharma group. He's like, I can't believe the Dharma organizations have issues. Why would you think that? It's like human beings. And so same mechanism. And then now, once you see, oh, I see the truth. You see more, you can see the whole picture. So there are all the good things that's happening, and there are things that comes from the fact that we are flawed, vexed human beings trying to do something together. And sometimes we get burned out and we don't feel like so dedicated some days. And sometimes we disagree in how to go about doing this good thing, all with good intention. We disagree. We fight over how to proceed. Politics. Yes. Yes. But the habits of perfectionism, remember this strong attachment to the idea of how this is supposed to be, and then as soon as we see that there is the aspect of reality that is not matching our idea, bad. This all or nothing mentality, now is no good. write off the whole thing. Worse, but very common, become cynical. Oh, they're just as bad as all those horrible or whatever other people. Just, it's all about money. And then, I hear that all the time. They're just as bad as everyone else. So you go from, they're all good, from now they're all bad. Instead of allowing ourselves to see the actual reality of it, which is a lot of good work done, which the habit of perfectionism, remember, you take that for granted. Don't see that. Ignore all of that. Only thing you see is this flaw. There are politics, or there are people who don't get along. There are some people who are not as dedicated as you think they should be. When most people are very dedicated, a lot of the time, oh, they don't need anything. None of that exists. Because of the habit of taking what's here for granted. Very much part of perfectionism. And so, working with perfectionism is to cultivate this clear awareness of, first, our habit of creating this idea of something being perfect. What our idea? Just watch out for that. Watch out. And reminding ourselves that reality, the nature, true nature of reality, is the coming together of many causes and conditions. We all here together, and being able to be empathetic. If we can notice that I myself sometimes get stressed out, sometimes I kind of just want to take a break instead of going out and help people. Surely someone else, it's okay for them to want to take a break from helping people too, right? So like when we can allow ourselves to see the reality of our own mind, then we can see, oh yeah, you know, everyone's like me too. Yeah, sure, it's okay, take a break, no problem. And that's a way to break ourselves from this habit of perfectionism. And of course, remembering to unlearn this toxic habit of taking for granted what's here by cultivating awareness of what is working, what's here. So whenever we find ourselves only obsessing over all the individuals who are not doing what they're supposed to do, or your partner not imperfection, like use that as a warning or reminder to remember to cultivate awareness of everything else that is actually going on. When you are getting along, people are doing good work, then we can refrain from falling into this extremely distorted view of this all bad, and ending up with a lot of suffering from discontent, cynicism, and also having this very harsh all or nothing attitude as we treat other people in our relationship or in our engagement, in our causes. So I hope this is useful, and I like to invite you to sort of reflect on it and see how it some of these habits might manifest in your own experience, and you can cultivate the awareness of these habits. When we are more aware of these habits, then we can have a chance to choose not to follow it as a way to unlearn it.